Hey, my friends, welcome back to the show. Today, we are joined by the immensely talented Hillary Blair. She is obsessed with communication, presence, story, and the sharing of voice. She works extensively across the business world, guiding and challenging the enthusiastic and reluctant alike to share their voice while communicating more powerfully. Her and her team at Articulate, Real and Clear work with clients in the corporate and professional world like Starbucks and the ACLU. Hillary is also a professional voiceover and stage actor who has been teaching now for 35 plus years. She's also a seasoned voiceover artist. You might have heard her in Nintendo games or at Denver's Museum of Nature and Science. With a background from Yale and the National Theater Conservatory and a touch of Netflix binging, she truly believes real communication is an art. Let's dive in. This is the Mindshift Podcast, where we share real stories, real strategies that will help you find real success. This is the place to hear from people just like you who have taken their ideas, goals, and dreams from a point of inspiration to realization, or when life knocked them down, from a point of breakdown to breakthrough. I'm your host, Darrell Evans. Let's get started with today's episode. Hillary, what's going on? Welcome to the Mindshift Podcast.
Happy to be here. Absolutely.
It's good to see you after a couple of months when we met here in Las Vegas. How you been since then?
Fantastic. You know, living in Colorado, I was blown away by how gorgeous Las Vegas was. I have to tell you, I had only ever really been on the Strip, and where we met was out of, I was like, this is gorgeous, more connected to the how beautiful the mountains are. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I, you know, can't compete with Colorado, but there we go.
Yeah, you were up in the Summerlin area, which is, yeah, up, you know, we got Red Rock up that way. And it's a different perspective on that side of the city. And it's funny to hear you say, I'd only been on the Strip, because that seems to be the perspective that, right, most people have of Vegas is, if it's not a casino, what do you do there?
Do you live there? I grew up in a resort town, though. So I know that concept of like people having no real concept that human beings make homes in places that most people just visit quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very familiar with Denver. My brother lives there. He's been on the show a couple of times. So he has told me about the beauty of it, of all the things that I haven't seen. So I'm envious as well of where you're at, yeah, right now in the fall season of 2023. But thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to be here with our listening audience. I think is in for a micro version of the mind-blowing seminar that I sat through here in Las Vegas. I was so blessed to be in that room that day, because you bring a different style of communication and leadership and how you helped us work through. And I got to sit in the hot seat, right, if I recall. And I didn't know what I signed up for, but it was such a unique experience, and I gained a lot from being in it. But before we jump into the nitty-gritty of the expertise, yes, that would be Hillary Blair, share with everyone a little bit about your backstory and your background that led to us being here today.
I am trained as an actor. I was a very shy child actor. Children's theater is where I found my family and fun. And the way I was trained was, once you're in classes, then you start assisting and then you start teaching. So acting and teaching went together. Carried me through as a professional actor. Whenever I went to summer stock or theater, they'd say, can you teach? Yes, I can. So my journey was, I'm an actor. And I got my master's degree in acting out here in Denver. That's what brought me out here. Until a businesswoman met me. And she was the one who opened my eyes and suggested that the techniques and discipline of the performing arts would help business professionals. And that shifted my whole life.
Hmm. In what ways?
So I would say the main way that it shifted from the artist who has me. I will go with me. I won't say other artists. Me. Large chip on my shoulder about business people and business as money grubbing, you know, people who are just out to make a buck, and artists are pure and fabulous, right? So I had this chip on my shoulder. And when she suggested that I work with more business people, it took me a while. I was crisscrossing the US, going to these conferences and coaching women entrepreneurs on their pitches, because she saw that a theater person could help a business person with the story side and showing up, voice, body, full person. How do I show up as my authentic self? So I'm crisscrossing, going to these competitions, coaching, because I love coaching and teaching. I love that. And this big ship got littler and littler because I realized that business people are the same, passionate and driven, just like artists. What I did learn, and I think all artists can learn from, is that business people track and measure. And I think that all of us in the arts world could learn to track and measure. We do better in connecting with our audiences in some way. The pure art is fabulous. Got rid of the chip, fell in love with business people and their passion for their own message and helping them realize, how do I connect? How do I really be myself and share and create a business that works? One little side note to remember is that Seinfeld, he is, still is, was master of tracking and measuring. He tracked and measured his jokes. He had a whole process to keep track of it. And so there is proof that the artist can benefit from doing that as well.
When you start working with a business owner, business executive, what is the biggest mental hurdle that they bring to communication that you find yourself having to deal with and help them unwind initially?
I would say the biggest hurdle is that there's a right way to communicate, because I feel like people have these formulas and they have these set things that they are or aren't supposed to do in order to connect successfully. And it is far more nuanced than that. It is highly individual and far more squishy. That's why I like to actually call them soft skills. I don't mind calling them soft skills. I understand the argument for they're really hard. We should call them hard skills and all of that. I get that. And they're difficult. But for me, I love hanging on to the soft skill idea because you can't quite pin it down. And that's the hurdle, because we want to be able to track and measure. We want to be able to, okay, if I do that, then I will definitely see this outcome. We don't know that individual. We come in different packaging. We have different models as human beings, and how we show up and connect with each other is influenced by that. And if we try to come up with one formula, as a leader, I talk to my employees, I talk to my team this way, that's when we miss, we disconnect. And also, we hire people for their individuality. And then for some reason, we feel like in order to be efficient, we need them to fit in correctly. So we start shaving off the sharp edges and the bumps and the odd things that are exactly the reason why we hired them. We shave those off in order for them to fit in and work efficiently as a cog in the wheel. And then we're like, why are they unhappy? Why aren't they staying? Why can't I connect?
Why are they leaving?
Oh, isn't that true? It's like we lose the individual.
Yes, it's amazing, because to your exact point, we hire people for their unique gift. In my world, I call it superstar DNA. And that means it's that uniqueness that is only them. Out of the 7 to 8 billion people on the planet, they brought something to the table that happened to pair well with the skill set of the job requirement. But yet, when we box that in, whether it's through speech or through leadership style or through process-driven requirements, and then they get fed up with it, and we wonder why people are quietly quitting and, you know, seeking the work from anywhere lifestyle and doing as little as they possibly can to make sure they don't get fired until they find the thing that will let them be authentically them. When did you start your entrepreneurial journey from artist to entrepreneur?
Absolutely. So that arts for art's sake, that's often how we distinguish, because it's really the same teaching of techniques and discipline, right? But I was teaching arts for art's sake, teaching artists from age 2 to 102, right? And then arts integration is using those same skills with people with different backgrounds. And at that point, I was still working in the theater. So I was still a teaching artist, theater person coming in and bringing that into the different spaces. And then that businesswoman met me. And what's kind of fun to know, Daryl, is I was in a children's show. I was in a show called Tomato Plant Girl. I was Tomato Plant Girl. So she saw on stage three female characters, bossy best friend, little girl, and Tomato Plant Girl. It was a play, an amazing play for youth about bullying. I grew from the ground. I spit Oreo cookies out as dirt. I was connecting and learning how to speak and about friendship. And when I met her, I had grown into a large tomato. I was standing in line, shaking little kids' hands, you know, how you do that at the end of shows. And this adult came by and she asked, "Do you work with business people?" And I was like, in my head, I'm like, I am a tomato at the moment. And I said out loud, "Some." And the reason I bring this up is because she tucked her card into my costume, said, "Call me when you've worked with more." She's a visionary. And I know we have visionaries listening, and I know we've had visionaries impact our lives. So that woman saw a tomato on stage and saw immediately that tomato needs to be helping people with their communication skills. Yeah. So she saw beyond that vision of understanding that that could extrapolate and connect. That shift is when I first shifted to going, oh, let me explore this idea. How do I bring voice and body and story? And how do we make the pitches pithy? And how do we have it really land and impact the VC, the whoever wants to fund this, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
And then probably 3 years into that, it took three years for me still being a theater artist, still teaching business people to go, wait a minute, I could start a business. So that's when I would say the shift to entrepreneur happened. And then I decided to start my own business. And that was a visionary seeing a tomato, working with business people. I don't know if I ever would have gotten there if she, I mean, I don't know, the world throws things your way, right? And honestly, I am a theater professional. That's my thing. And so she saw that. I co-founded Articulate about 12, 13 years ago. And it hasn't stopped since then. And I love it.
I love the name.
Right?
Let's actually go there because and not only the name of the company, but how it's spelled, right. It just speaks to the character of who you are. And you just named it at the very end, like I'm an artist at heart,
yeah.
Right? Talk just really quick how you came up with the name and for the listening audience who cannot see it, although you can go over to the show notes over at darylevins.net/podcast, you'll see that there. But talk about how you came up with the name and why you spell it the way you do.
It's another gift that came our way. Fabulous woman came into our orbit and was working with us a little bit. She's gone off back to do more art. But at the time she came in and she was chatting with a friend. We didn't have a name yet. And we were playing around with what should the name be? What are we doing? We were playing with all kinds of things. And we had played with that word, right? Articulate. She went off, she came back, she's like, yes, and it needs to be drawn with the art emphasized, right? So the art stands out. Now, the other gift, I would say, is that there's a very well-known educational company that does software for education training called Articulate. They've been very kind to us. We keep having similar colors. That we are a tiny company. They are a massive company. They've been very kind to us. And because of that, we became Articulate Real and Clear. And that concept of having being real and being clear, we had before Articulate, and there was a whole discussion of the words at the end. And one of my clients said, Hillary, you got to emphasize that real and clear because that is what I find that you do. You bring the art to get us real and to get us clear. And I was like, that was great.
Yeah.
So it does ring true, right, for folks. And you get it. Now, Daryl, you need to know that as an artist, a lot of times we don't bring it up. There are times that we hide the fact that we have that art background because not everyone responds affirmatively to it. And I am fascinated by my own bias about my own art background. And I love the word bias. I was raised by a father who believed that we needed to be really aware that we all have them, because if you pretend you don't, then you lead yourself right into trouble. So recognizing it and being aware of and like going, oh, wow, I didn't even look at that, you know, let me wake up to that. And so I had a business person when I was in Houston, just within the last like 5 weeks. I do an exercise where I have people getting into their body. We did it, right? We get into our body and we do these exercises. And the first time I go through them, I have people say that, like, I'm like, I'm a drama teacher. Come on. What's the letter? What are we doing? We're doing the VTWL, right? Get in our body, be embodied and get your breath connected. And then I say, those are four moves by a physical therapist to help us get our heads back on our shoulders because of tech neck, right? Where we shoot our head off of our shoulders. And I always am like, I do this exercise and check in. Did you have more commitment or less commitment? Because now you know it's physical therapist versus a theater person. And I always assume that people are going to be more committed to it when they know that it's a physical therapist than with me as a drama teacher.
Yeah.
And I had one of the people in the room say to me, hey, by the way, I was more committed knowing it was a theater exercise because that was waking me up and connecting me. And I was excited about that. Physical therapist, not so much. Mm. I love when people spin me 180 degrees in my own story.
It was a great exercise. It started the morning for us. And of course, it rarely happens. And I've been in that mastermind for about 8 years. I've rarely had a speaker start us off by standing up. And you know, the CEO and me and the rest of the ones in the room, when we come in for a day and we know we're coming in for a day of learning and breakthrough, and we always have great speakers. But it's like, what do you mean stand up? Not only stand up, move away from your chair.
Yes.
It was about to get weird real fast.
Right?
But like you said, you framed sort of the expectation or the thinking of what the audience might be perceiving was about to happen. And then you got us to buy into the rest of the 3 hours, because that to me was the power of it. Now, I was going to play along because I just do that. I've recognized that there's an opportunity and there's a uniqueness. Whatever this is for, there's a reason for it. She's got the mic. She's the expert.
Here we go.
Let's just play along. But the piece was, I think holistically, even though that was a small room, it probably would have played out the same in a room of 10,000, is you were able to get buy-in because you allowed us to experience in advance what you were about to transform us with over the next several hours. I just thought it was a very unique experience and a great way to start a talk that, you know, some people think they've heard it before, right? You talk about communication being an art, and I love that part of your tagline. Let's talk about the art side of it, because you have the entrepreneurs listening to this, the business owners, and certainly we have our personal development and growth-minded folks, but everyone knows that communication sits at the center of growth and accomplishment and relationships. So talk to us a little bit about how you approach and a little bit of the bridge between what the perceived communication styles that we've learned over these years and how you've bridged it to tie into the art that you're so passionate about.
The way you talked about rising up and saying, okay, I'm going to stand, this is already different, the CEO in me versus the learner in you, right? It's almost like your CEO and your learner were like, okay, like trying to get on the same page together. That, it doesn't always win. Like you are that kind of, that's who you are, right? A curious person. Okay, I'm here for the whole day. Let's not also miss that element. We're tired, all right? So there's an element like, how do I prepare? I'm here for a whole day. How much energy do I really have? We want to make sure we honor that. And one of the things that bringing the art to it is connecting to the self and recognizing how much do I have to give right now, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to go with her, see where it's going. And I also, as a person in that room, have to recognize that everyone's coming with a different tired, a different exhaustion, a different things that are on their mind, all of that. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's an element of the art as well. So that nuanced communication awareness, that's the part, again, back to the squishy element, is how do I bring that human quality, that awareness to the person with whom I'm communicating? So the thing that I have found, and I've been doing this for a long time, many, many decades, as I've said, and I am constantly learning and constantly shifting, is I'm going to sum it up to how am I actually in relationship with the person. So right now, right, I'm looking at a camera because we're doing a podcast. So I'm looking at a camera and I'm talking into a microphone. You are actually at a different angle. If I'm looking at you to connect with you as a human being, you're in a different place. So this concept of how do I connect in the virtual world, it becomes super obvious to go, okay, I need to look at the camera for that person to feel connected. I should have my camera on. There are some major technical things that may irritate us and bug us, and yet they're really obvious. Mm-hmm. When we translate those to being in person, they are much less obvious. And in many ways, even more important. So we are constantly putting a wall up and letting a wall down between us and another person. We could be putting a wall up just because we've gone into our head to answer a question. We could put a wall up or close the garage doors, however the image works for you, right? That wall between us and another person. We remembered something we have to do. We disappear for a minute. To actually be present with executive presence, leadership presence, with the other person, That is the nuanced, exacting talent of being a human being in relationship with another. It's like, when am I really with you? When have I disappeared? When do I come back? We compare presence, which I feel is one of those foundational elements to communication, to balance. Because in balance, we understand that we're constantly adjusting all minutia of muscles, right, that we're not even aware of in order to remain balanced. Being present with other human beings is the same thing. What am I doing in order to remain connected to the person across from me, the thousand, you know, that I'm communicating with? And as a leader, we are often unaware that we are putting up a wall, and in monologue versus dialogue with the person on the other end, and we say it's to make the other person comfortable. Often, if we're honest, it's to make us comfortable and to reserve our energy. It's easier for me to deliver a message in monologue format and just land it on you, deliver it, messenger, all kinds of things in theater, we call that, versus really being in dialogue and letting the wall down, really seeing you, allowing you to see me, and being in relationship with you. All of those things impact the words I choose, my body language, my breath, my voice, all of those things. And then it's just so complicated. And we're like going back, this is too complicated. Daryl, I'm just going to send you a message. I need you to do this, this, and this. And that's an understandable response at times. So we have to, when we're working with folks and we bring that art in, that individuality, and we talk about being leaders and being on team. Teams is our big thing too, right? Because we work with casts of people. Understanding you have to intentionally choose when you connect and when maybe you allow the wall to be there at times. I have to reserve my energy. So when am I fully present? When am I only partially present?
I was going to ask you about this idea of leadership communication and how do we bring the art fullness to challenging communications? And you walked me through a similar example. That was sort of the hot seat that I sat in. And without going back to try to revisit that whole hot seat, I wanted you to just maybe articulate, especially in today's virtual world. I have a virtual team now, which before the pandemic, I would have never thought that we would have had a 100% virtual team. I'm actually the only employee from my company in my city. And so I wanted to see if you could lean in a little bit, because in your workshop, you talked a lot about executive presence, and maybe we can get into the four steps of those. I'm cheating because I've got them in front of me, and I'll cue them up for you. But really quick, if you can talk through the difference between virtual communication and physical communication, how do those nuance from your perspective, and what could we learn as virtual CEOs or business owners? And in some way, I'm sure we all have some sort of that communication dynamic happening.
The little things are a big deal. You know, you've heard me say that. I'm a big fan of that idea of realizing the little things are a big deal and bigger impact than we realize. That means for me many, many things. And to your point of virtual, is that when we're virtual, we put all of our reactions and everything into what is happening visually. So what happens is, because we are trained on story, we watch Netflix or other versions of that, right? And we go to movies, and everything's in that box. And we're trained to think that if someone looks off, we put a full story on that. That's trained as a human being, and it's reinforced by our entertainment value, right? It's like, oh my gosh, if they look over and they look scared, that's part of the story. We make up a whole story because human beings create story to make meaning, not to be a problem, but to make meaning. So because of that, in this virtual world, if we're having the cameras on and if we're not, similar thing happens, slightly different. When we have the camera, we are dumping all of our reaction and all of our energy into this visual story. If I were in this room with you, Daryl, we would be feeling each other, right? Not touching each other, but feeling each other. And we were in a room together. You were sitting to my left. I still remember you sitting over here, all right? I still have you because I was in a space with you. As human beings, we know that. Now, I'm putting you just in this box and putting whole story based on that box. Because of that, we assume that we know a lot more that's going on with people than we do. And we don't always pause to go, wow, I just created an entire story about whether they're interested, whether they're connected, how they're doing, how they're feeling this day, because of this little box. That is a little thing that's a big deal that most people don't pause to think about. Because truly, I don't care if you're a leader who says, I don't really pay attention to what people are feeling. You're a human being walking through this world and you do pick up on things. Yeah. And even if it's a tiny piece compared to overfeeling me, right? You're still responding to that. Now we take away your ability to connect with people in the real time, or it's still real time, but in the physical world, and go here. You are overcompensating with the visual and creating story based only on what you're seeing. And your success rate, how correct you are, goes way down. When I'm in a room with you, you're behind me. I know you're behind me, like all that stuff. If I am not, like right now, I'm looking at the camera in order for you to feel like I'm looking at you, right? I'm trained. I'm an actor, trained to look at the camera. So looking at the camera. But in order for me to really see you, I just want to go a few inches over here to see Daryl's face, right? And it's a totally different thing. I'm speaking around and reinforcing because I still have people not understanding how it impacts them physically, their breath, their body, their energy, their mood, when one, they have to give a talk and they can't see any of the people. So they are now, well, I had it in, you know, presentation mode or webinar mode or whatever, and I couldn't see people. Or the leaders are like, they don't have their cameras on, or they turn their cameras off, or whatever it might be. Or I could tell they were bored. And I'm like, nope, you have no idea if they're bored. You don't really know much. We are simply looking at a picture and making huge assumptions. And as leaders, that's the tricky part. And we have to backfill with connecting in and asking. I overfeel. So my poor team, I'm like, is everything okay? You know, you looked away a little bit, right? And they're like, oh, for goodness sakes, Hillary, right? I had an itch, or a bug crawled across my desk or whatever, right? So I have learned to adjust how I check in to own where I am, and I'm putting story on it. So one of the really great tools is to separate fact from story. It's a great and really important one. In person, it's important, and it's really important virtually. I saw you look away and look up to the left. I put a whole story on it. What's going on? I saw you get up and leave. I saw you lean back in your chair and recognize we don't usually separate those. We say, oh, you know, you disconnected. No, you saw me lean back and you put story on it.
Right.
So separating those.
Such a tough thing to do, us humans. Oh, it's so tough. We just want to assume that we know.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the virtual there just because there's some other areas that I want to get into. Thank you so much for that, though. You said, and I made a note at the very beginning, sort of towards the early part of our workshop, you said words create worlds. You know, how does that tie in? Because that was a powerful, it was a 3-hour workshop, but I only took 7 notes because I was a part of the workshop. You tried to give me a break a few times.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You volunteered me into the workshop. I'm just playing. Words create worlds. Yeah. What do you mean?
So words create worlds is an age-old phrase. So definitely not my phrase, right? It's from spiritual and religious tomes from hundreds of years. And it's all around the globe, there are versions of that. And we have really gravitated to it. And I'm constantly reminded of it. Because every time I mention a word, it creates a world that you're thinking about. I say the word virtual and you have a different setup where you are. You have a different understanding of it. We had a different understanding of what virtual was pre-COVID. I taught how to work with teams virtually before because I've been on Zoom for 10 years, right? I was brought into that world and I'm a voiceover actor. And so when we say words create worlds, we have to remember that just because we said something, we haven't communicated anything. Like I can say double click on it. Some people don't like that phrase, right? So double click on it. Let me ask a few more questions, see if we're thinking of the same word. So double click is obviously from the computer world, double clicking to open a folder. And I invite often with words, because they create worlds, remain curious, remain open to the fact that you may not have communicated. And, you know, what are some of the classics? Like some people go to a water fountain, some go to a bubbler, right? We have soda or a pop, or some people, hey, do you want a Coke? We have, you know, 7-Up, ginger ale, right? You're like, wait a minute, you said Coke, right? So I'm doing the silly ones, right?
Right.
It gets more and more intense. And even the word, I used the word bias just a little while ago, right? Woo, that opens up all kinds of things, right? And I'm making assumptions of where I'm going, and I make assumptions about what curiosity means. And we have to check in, because every time we mention a word, a whole world develops.
Yeah.
And two things. One is that we have people double or triple define the words that they're using without a because or what I'm doing, just sort of using two or three words that mean the same thing for you, especially if you use an acronym. There's nothing wrong with using an acronym. If you have an audience that understands it, you can define it again in order that people stay with you and that you recognize that you might have used a word that doesn't connect, that doesn't register, that doesn't land on someone the same way. So I just did a triple define right there, so that it doesn't land on, that it isn't defined the same way. So understanding that we come from such different experiences. And I think the assumption that because I've chosen my words really clearly, therefore I have connected, is grounds for miscommunication. Think about attorneys. They are trying to find all the right words. And then they, you know, they have pages to say, pick up your cup, right? Because they want to make sure that everything's defined and redefined.
Super interesting. There is another concept, and I want to ask you this question, and then I want to have you explain to our listening audience how they can connect with you, how they can learn more about what Articulate does, and how they articulate real and clear, excuse me. And I want to see if you can recall, during the time that I was participating, you said to me, you didn't say it in so many words, but I speak fast, and I was doing a role play with you.
Right.
And I was speaking very fast. Maybe this was my note, but in some way you said, I needed more pauses.
Yeah.
There are other people listening to this show right now who speak fast. They're excited.
Yes.
They get emotional. And sometimes in difficult situations or tough situations or challenging conversations, adrenaline raises ever so slightly. Heart rate goes up ever so slightly. Talk to me about your coaching to me around pausing.
I'm a fast speaker as well. I have really fast articulators. That's why I do a lot of voiceover work, and I can put a lot of words in a small space, right? So some people run fast. Some of us speak fast. I had a client say to me, because I was like, I speak quickly. And they said, great. Do you care if I get what you're talking about? Do you care if you connect with me? Which was pretty much hitting me at my core, of course, connecting and communicating are like my essence. I'm like, oh my goodness, yes. Then you need to be finding ways to figure out why your speed disconnects me. So I dove right into that. I was such a if we speak slowly, we tend to not remain in ourselves. There are times when we speak slowly as we catch words, right? We're grabbing words. When we're speaking with different people with different, there's some age things that it can help to be slower at much older people, right? So much older in the hearing, only with the hearing kind of thing. In general, though, we need to have the micro pauses so that the brain of our listener can code what they heard. The micro pause is far more important than speaking slowly. Our brain hears things. I was trained in 250 millisecond sections. If we run those together, so even if I speak slowly and I run everything together and I don't have any pauses at all, people can't follow me because there hasn't been a moment for their brain to anchor it. If I speak quickly and I have those pauses, it's easier for people to follow. So micro pauses in order for the brain of our listener to anchor it is more important than slow. And one of the easiest ways to make sure that we're connecting is to be aware of our breath. We speak on our breath, and to be aware that we really need the vowels as much as we need the consonants. So the vowels are that's emotional content, right? And the consonants are the intellectual content. If someone asks you to repeat yourself, the counterintuitive choice is to go to the vowels, and what we tend to go to are the consonants. Yes, I'll be clearer. Much harder to understand than yes, I'll be clearer. I'm not slower. I'm just adding vowels.
Yeah.
I'll be clearer versus I'll be clearer.
I'm sorry, everybody listening. You couldn't be in the workshop that day, but it was so good and it's so fun, right? And you told me something at the end of that, which I appreciated. You said something like, thank you for being open to the coaching or whatever that might have been. So,
yeah,
but it's super interesting because I've been communicating for a long time. We all have, and in different role styles, economies, growth cycles, down cycles, up cycles, it's always changing and evolving.
Yes.
And my style is always changing and evolving without losing my level of authenticity, my uniqueness, my superstar DNA. And I think that's been what I picked up from what you were discussing. And I learned a lot from that day. How are you seeing Articulate move forward with companies and executives today? How do you come in and work with companies today?
Wow. My head just, you know, I just had a collision in my brain, like three thoughts collided right when you asked that. So we work both in person and virtually. And we love working with teams because that's where that communication, that person to person is so important. And I do some ORSC work, which is the organizational systems work, how do teams work together? So it connects my theater cast, how do I work with a group of people, with my sports upbringing as well, with the business section. What's the system? So we work with groups of human beings and figuring out how they can connect by being themselves with all their pokey sharp edges and work together. We do workshops. We do year-long things. We do one-shot workshops. I do speaking. I love doing keynoting and breakout sessions. And of course, I have a team of fabulous teaching artists who are corporate coaches who work specifically with leaders and individuals on their individual communication so they can show up as themselves. I feel like all we're doing is de-gunking people. We're getting the gunk out of the way that's keeping them from being themselves and connecting in the way that they know, trusting that and giving them the tools to show up as their superstar selves. Mm. I love that you say that. That's great.
I love it. How you put some icing on the cake.
Yeah.
We call my shift. Thank you so much. Hillary, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? Whether that's social media, your website, how can people get in touch?
Yeah. Please do contact me. I love that. I love asking questions. Whether you agree with me or not, bring it on. So at the website, which is articulaterc.com. So the RC for real and clear, articulaterc.com. LinkedIn, I love connecting with people there. Those are the two main places. And then emails, please feel free. It's hillary@articulaterc.com. Yeah, bring on the conversation. I love figuring things out. Yeah, learning. I love learning.
Thank you for spending some time with us and really just helping me extend the learning that I got from you just a couple months ago. Thank you for the work that you're doing because, again, this world is, in some cases, we get all twisted because communication is at the root of every misunderstanding. And I think whether it's in corporate America, entrepreneurship, politics, et cetera, families, it's the fabric of harmony or disharmony.
Yeah.
And we oftentimes forget. It's just like that never-ending growth cycle of how we communicate and evolve. As we're a child, we move into teenage, we move into adulthood, we move into different types of career roles. It all changes. And I know I had to learn a different style when COVID hit and we went 100% virtual. And to your point, I used to be able to look people face-to-face in our conference room every Monday for our kickoff.
Yep.
And then it went to Zoom where people didn't even want the camera on. And I was struggling with that. Like, wait a minute, you couldn't turn your camera off when we were in the conference room. So, I mean, and I was just like, why is it now just okay to turn your camera off? So anyway, but there's so much nuance to communication.
Yes.
And what we have to remember is something you said at the very beginning of the show. And that is, let's not try to change the fabric of their authenticity and their unique self. And just understand that we all have this style that we don't want to silence for the sake of our production or output or our own reasons. And so, Hillary, so much work you've done coming from that art world all the way through to the leadership and executive world. Thank you for doing the work. Thank you for helping people shift their minds and shift the results in the world of communication. Thank you for your entrepreneurial journey. Not that we don't want to see you doing acting and all those things that you did, but you're making a big impact in the boardroom, I'm sure. So, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed today's conversation and you have a team that is evolving and expanding, maybe the team is having some challenges in communication. I think it's something that as 30 years as an entrepreneur, there's always an ebb and flow to when there's harmony and disharmony, and it always seems to be communication. I would really encourage you to reach out to Hillary at articulaterc.com. Reach out to her on LinkedIn. We'll have all of that posted in the show notes in the description over on our website at darylevins.net/podcast. And for hanging out with us today, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you hung out with us today. I really appreciate you for that. Hit the like, hit the follow, hit the subscribe button, whatever it is you do to tie into the Mindshift podcast on a weekly basis. We're streaming everywhere you can possibly receive it. We're always open to hearing from you over on Instagram. You can Instagram me at Mr. Daryl Evans. And like Hillary said, I'm always open to questions and answering, you know, giving answers and really just being one-on-one with those who reach out. So for your time today, we honor you and thank you. And we'll see you next week on another episode of the Mindshift podcast. Take care. Hey, my friend, thanks again for listening to today's episode of the Mindshift podcast. Listen, let's not have the conversation end here. Connect with me on social at Mr. Daryl Evans on almost all the platforms, with the exception of Facebook. My Facebook fan page is at Daryl Evans Fan. Until next week, remember, you're just one shift away from the breakthrough you're looking for.